Peter, thank you so much for jumping on the line and chatting to us on Gay Panic tonight.
No, thanks for having me. I really love the title of the show.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, it is a bit of a reference to the Gay Panic Defence, which is, funnily enough, still a thing, I think.
In some states.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Yeah, we've got to get rid of that.
Yeah, hopefully, eventually. I think they've been lobbying for it over the past, but for some reason, maybe because it hasn't been used in such a long time, it's just one of the ones that's been kept for a long time. Anyway,
yeah, it'd be good to see it go.
Gay Panic aside, let's jump into your work. I want to know, first off, how identifying as gay and Indigenous has influenced your art.
How that influences my art? Or?
Yes.
Well, I'm a Ngarrigo person, so we're the snow people. So we come from the Snowy Mountains area. But I've always been drawn to Aboriginal culture, and I work in it, and I've lived in it, and worked in health and well-being in it. And I guess I've always been trying, like, some of my early role models, Aboriginal artists, are Gordon Bennett and Tracy Moffat from the 80s. And we got Tracy Moffat in the Venice Biennale this year as the Australian rep. But a lot of those artists, like, fought around that label of what Aboriginal is, and I'm always constantly fighting that too, because, you know, I'm an Aboriginal person, so all my art is Aboriginal art. But then, you know, most of Australia thinks Aboriginal art is dot art or from the desert or something like that. So yeah, and I think just the queer stuff then comes out, because I'm really influenced by, I was influenced by David Warren Aravich, an AIDS activist artist from New York in the 80s as well. So, so I've just got many influences. And AIDS activism art was one of them as well. So, yeah, I sort of combined to produce things. And I've just been working a lot around dingoes, like you mentioned in the introduction.
Yeah, and because I feel like also we kind of said there that, you know, the dingo is an animal that I guess some people have preconceived notions about, but it's also an animal that is misunderstood. Why is it one that you kind of gravitated towards with this latest exhibition?
I've always just sort of done dogs in my work. And when I was younger, people called me Wolf as well. So some people still do. It's like a nickname. So I've always done dogs and stuff in my work. It's just that I sometimes you don't know as I've grown into it, you know, I've come to understand that the dingo is mostly unprotected. We've got a huge dingo fence across the country that stops dingoes getting into the southeast of the country, which is my country. I see it as this metaphor for a second class sort of native, like it's not protected like our other natives, like the koalas and the kangaroos, because it's seen as a pest to white progress, like to agriculture and farming and stuff like that. So it just comes, well, it just has a lot of metaphoric meaning to me in my own position as well, seen as a bit of a pesty in the way queer guy or something, you know? Aboriginal guy.
Have you felt like that in the past? Like you are pushing some or trying to obviously fight for your rights. Do you feel like you're a pest, or do you feel like you're obviously making change and standing up for something that you believe in?
I don't know. I really feel like I'm, you know, I think things have changed a lot in my time, but, you know, I haven't had the easiest ride and the easiest life, and I've been hurt a lot because of my gay identity. So, you know, I guess I'm now at a stage where I'm just entering, you know, I'm over 50 now, so I don't know, you come into this role of, like, what's an elder, what's a queer elder, what do we need? And we need more role models in the Aboriginal community, strong role, queer role models as well, and into that. I think young people need some queer elders as well, you know, to look up to. There's too much suicide and too much questioning when you're young, and I just don't want young people going through that anymore, you know. I just want them not to take their lives or feel so sad about that aspect of their life and just celebrate it. And we have a few debates in the community about, you know, what was it like before colonial times and stuff like that, but in the end it doesn't matter. We're here now, and the community needs to deal with us and accept us, you know.
And a lot of the time, you know, well, intrinsic to the nature of art is somewhat the political as well. And I guess seeing how far we have or have not in certain regards progressed as a society, do you see that your art kind of swims with the times as well and co-evolves in that sense?
Yeah, no, I think it has. You know, I think I've been trying to find my voice for a long time, and it's taken me a long journey. I wasn't raised in the Aboriginal community. I was part of the adoption movement in the 50s and 60s, and so I grew up. That's why I've got a double barrel name. I grew up with the Waples, who I love dearly as well, but they're a non-Indigenous family. But, you know, I've been on this incredible journey back home, you know, to find out exactly who I am. And so a lot of my life's been totally about my identity, and all my art's pretty, I say, auto-ethnographic, sort of been based on my own personal experiences and stuff. I don't do things that are abstract to me. I do things that I've experienced, I think, and can comment on. Yeah.
It must be such a huge journey too, because as you say there, it's focusing on identity, and identity is something that you have no shortage of, and what you want to choose to identify as, I think, obviously as a queer man, as an Indigenous man, and then also as a man who grew up in a white family too. It would have had so many different times within that journey of where you felt like you belonged. Do you feel like you are constantly progressing, I think, through that and finding different identities and maybe feeling that you belong more towards one than the other? Or how do you juggle that?
Well, you know, recently I've been more like, I guess I really lean towards Aboriginal spirituality, you know, like that we're connected, that everything is connected, all the animals connected. My personal totem's the crow, you know. So, you know, when the way I stay mindful is, you know, just watching out for those crows and realizing that they're going to have a good day. And, you know, in other ways, I've been trying to call in the light. You know, I have my share of living in the night, in the nightclubs, and I just felt lost for a lot of times. But, you know, I've needed to find that piece. The Aboriginality was a really key piece, you know, and it's really important for me now to be accepted in that community as a queer man, you know. So, and that's, I don't know, that's, I'm just feeling that's where my calling is now, that's where my passion is, and that's what I want to do. And, you know, I want my art to be reflective of that. So,
And that's something that you are working with at the moment, obviously becoming a queer elder. What is the what do you want to get out of that, and what do you hope that people can gain from that of having someone to look up to as a queer Aboriginal man?
Well, I think there's a few role models around, and more, and you know, down here in Melbourne, we're in the middle of it went towards the end of the Yirrumboy Festival, but it's had quite a queer bent to it. So, here's an Aboriginal festival with a queer bent, you know, and Jacob Boehm, who's been the director, is a queer guy as well. So it's been nice to have a different take on indigeneity as well. Sometimes, you know, when we were colonized, we were seen as, I guess, you know, a lot of our queerness was written out because it was written by Christians and missionaries, and we didn't really speak as Aboriginal people of our own history, and we were homogenized into one group when we're such a diverse group of people. Like I said, I'm snow people, and other people are desert people, other people are rainforest people, saltwater people. So, yeah, I mean, I think some of that still plays out. I think people need to broaden their scope about what Aboriginal art is and what an Aboriginal person is. And, yeah, there's all different stories about, I've always tried to find out what it was like before in the old times. And, you know, some people have made special uncles, and hopefully that's what I get to be called. A lot of the young queer kids call me uncle, and a lot of people are calling me uncle these days. So that's really sort of jarring, but it's fun and still it's really respectful. So it's nice.
In terms of going back to your art, Peter, you're currently exhibiting Dirty Dingo in Melbourne, I believe, but in terms of, I guess, that crossing state boundaries as well, do you have any plans or any stuff coming up in the near that's kind of venturing around Australia for anyone who might come and want to see your art?
Yeah, I have a WordPress site, so people can go and check out that. That's peterwaplescrow.wordpress.com. www.peterwaplescrow.com, and yeah, Peter Waples Crow is all one word, so that's cool. You can go and have a look on that, and I usually blog what I'm doing. I had a website, but it's just come down, and I might have to re-put one up again. The little while I've been focused in Melbourne, but I did have a show earlier in the year in Good Looking at Broomalley Art Gallery, so I had a piece in that, which was a queer show for Mardi Gras, which was nice. And the next show, the one in Melbourne's on for 2 months, so that'll be nice if people get to the Campbell Arcade or the De Grey Street subway entrance. So it's hidden downstairs and it's all in lit window boxes, so it's interesting that it's underground as well. And even tomorrow, I don't know, people around in Melbourne that were... There's a band that I perform in called The Treaters, and we're playing tomorrow. And you'd have to say they're quite queer. So, yeah, it's not a band. It's more like performance art. So it's just another avenue for things, and it really helped me in downtime to do performance, and something I've never done before. So, yeah.
And you've also got a show that's happening with Megan Evans, Squatters and Savages, at the Art Gallery of Ballarat, which is going on from the 27th of May to July 16. What themes are you exploring in that exhibition?
What themes are coming up? Well, what I was asked to do was revision their colonial collection. So these are pictures of Aboriginal people drawn by white people in the colonial era. And I've revisioned them into contemporary scenarios and just making comments on history and our role and how we were seen as savages and just all these other comments. So it's a show about revisioning that one as well. So I'm really like collage, and so I do a lot of collage stuff as well. Yeah, and I've just been working with some kids down here at Bacca, and we've got a laneway in the city in Royal Lane as well that called Totem Now. And then I was working with some beautiful Tunnerong people on a project that's at Black Dot Gallery down in Sydney, off Sydney Road. So people can have a look around. And yeah, I do collaborations as well, and I really enjoy them. I've been doing ceramic dingoes for Craft Victoria, so people can go online and have a look at that stuff. I've got cups there and a gold ear black dingo spirit, it's called. Yeah.